Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Nicholas Clark. I'm an agronomy and nutrient management extension advisor for the University of California. My counties of responsibility are Fresno, Tulare, and Kings counties. It's right smack in the center of the San Joaquin Valley. And today I'm going to talk about a little snippet of about a six-year project that several advisors and extension specialists in California have been undertaking. So just the last 2 years of work at one site I'm going to talk about today. These are the names of the advisor and specialist collaborators that are responsible for the statewide project, ranging from areas up near the Oregon border down to the southern region of the San Joaquin Valley. And the work that I'm going to be talking about today was sponsored by the CDFA's Fertilizer Research and Extension Program. For those of you that don't know, California is a big state. The Central Valley is a big part of California, but we divide it up into two regions, the Sacramento Valley in the north and the San Joaquin Valley in the south. They're pretty significantly different climatically. Also, we get very little rainfall in the San Joaquin Valley, about 8 inches average annual, and the soils tend to be a little bit tighter, a little bit more saline. And the San Joaquin Valley proper there consists of about 8 counties, but the growing region tends to be localized over on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley, and that little star there is the site of the Westside Research Extension Center, which is where the research that I'm talking about today took place. Just to give you some background on wheat production in the San Joaquin Valley, most of it goes to silage. Most of the acreage goes to silage production to feed our very, very large dairy industry, but we do have a good amount of grain production. The picture on the top there is a chopping operation where you can see the whole wheat straw and grain being chopped into the truck, and it'll be dumped into the silage pile, fermented for cow feed later on in the year. These are just some other graphs showing you on the left there the tonnage of silage that's produced in the San Joaquin Valley versus grain. That's a little bit of a misleading figure, I realize now, because silage gets reported as 70% moisture and grain somewhere around 10. But even if you normalize it to dry weight, we're still looking at about 2 million tons dry weight of silage in 2015 versus a 250,000 in grain. But grain does catch up in value. Growers get a premium for being able to grow grain. It's really hard to value what silage is monetarily because a lot of it is grown on the dairy farm and fed directly. I'm not too certain why I put this slide in there, but just that I got carried away with showing you what all the different counties do. But in general, I guess what you could take away from this is that all the counties in the San Joaquin Valley that grow silage also grow a proportional amount of grain. So we all do our part in the San Joaquin Valley. And to get to the nitty-gritty of this session, the literature and some of our production guides tell us that if you've got about a 70% nitrogen use efficiency that's applied taken up, so I'm going to call this an uptake efficiency, to produce around 3.5 tons of grain at about 13% protein, we're looking at nearly 4.5 pounds of nitrogen per acre to produce 100 pounds of grain. But that's a very simple take on it. We know also from research that nitrogen uptake over the season is not a linear function. Very little nitrogen is taken up in the early vegetative stages. Goes up very rapidly during stem elongation and slows down during the grain reproductive and grain fill periods. However, we also know that most of the nitrogen in the wheat plant is partitioned to the grain, signifying that there's a lot of remobilization from the straw into the grain. But there is some nitrogen that's still taken up that the grain is going, or the plant is going to get during that grain fill period. It's significant to us because one of the biggest recommendations we make to growers is that they always have a yield and protein goal in mind based on their production stats. In the San Joaquin Valley, it's not abnormal to get 3.5 tons of grain at 13% protein. Also, we know from experience and research that those early nitrogen applications in wheat do a great job at setting a yield potential and building up a lot of that vegetative matter. And then some later end applications around flowering time have a great impact on boosting green nitrogen percentage, sometimes as much as 3%, albeit it's only usually a small application between 40 and 60 pounds of nitrogen. But that's important to know because the research is also showing that nitrogen uptake efficiency during those later application periods is about 50% greater, and that's not rocket science. It's pretty simple. You have a more extensive root system, tend to be putting on less. It's just it's simple algebra. But most common practices of nitrogen fertilization in the San Joaquin Valley are a broadcast pre-plant application or applying manure behind a chopped corn crop in the fall that's going to be incorporated. So whatever the reason is, if it's a lack of infrastructure or a price takes a dip, it's not universal across the board that there's going to be late season nitrogen applications. There is a regulatory incentive in California, of course. The Dairy General Order and the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Programs, like this very famous image on the right side of the screen that shows exceedances of nitrate in drinking water wells in California. And there's a mandatory nitrogen use efficiency that's applied versus removed from the field, so the harvest index becomes really important here, of 70% or 1.4 over 1. And growers need to have certified nutrient management plans and annual reports. And I'll plug the CCA program here because this is where one of the many places that CCAs are very important in California is with training and a certification, they're allowed to certify these nutrient management plans in California for farmers. Now to the study. Simple agronomy design, RCVD, 4 reps. We're looking at 2 years. We have 3 nitrogen rates that we're looking at here, 150, 225, and 300 pounds. And then there are 8 timing treatments. And it's whether or not nitrogen was applied at any of 4 growing stages, pre-plant, tailoring boot, or flowering. It's just some information about the West Side Center. It's a clay loam soil, very uniform. And it's very typical on the west side of the San Joaquin Valley, so we're really fortunate to be able to carry it out at this site. Now to grain yield. There was no significant effect of application timing on grain yield over these 2 years, and the effect of rate was not surprising. It's exactly what we expected. You apply nitrogen, and you get more grain yield out of it. There was no year effect either, so we were happy about that. However, when we were looking at the effects on grain protein, there was a year by timing and a year by rate interaction. And I won't beat around the bush. I'll tell you right now, I think it's because in the first year, our residual nitrogen was about 40 pounds in the top foot. And in the second year, our residual nitrogen was about 80 pounds. So these rate treatments that we have, the 150, 225, and 300 pounds, are not total N in the field, so we didn't credit. We wanted to try and look at the effect of just the applications, the rate applications relative to each other. It's a mistake. You can tell just visually in 2015, which is in green, grain protein was higher, irrespective of rate or timing. All of the slides that come after this are going to have a table and a graph, so whatever you prefer to look at, but it's the same data. In 2014, the timing on grain protein had a very noticeable response effect, and it ordered really nicely. So an N means no, it was not applied, and a Y means yes, it was applied at those growing stages, and you can see that when nitrogen is not applied at a late growing stage, protein tends to be low, and the inverse is true. When nitrogen is applied late, protein tends to be high in 2014. The rate also played an effect, although it was more variable, but still significant. Not surprising there. In 2015, there's less of a significant response based on the rates as compared to 2014. And there, I think that's explainable by the 40 extra pounds of residual nitrogen compared to the first year. And the same concept is true for timing, where we did see significant response, but less graded as we would have hoped we were going to see. And then here I've got two graphs. They're both to the same scale, so you can trust me on that. Protein is in gray and yield is in the hashed. In 2014, you see a big interactive gap between protein and yield. In 2015, you don't see that gap. There still is a small gap toward the end where grain protein is high, where it can take off from yield. Is it telling me to be quiet? Okay. What did we learn from this study? We should always pay attention to residual soil N. That's what we tell all of our clientele, and we didn't do it here. We thought we were just going to math our way through this study, but nature taught us a lesson. Pre-plant N applications are good at setting a yield potential, and they should match the uptake potential. Top dressing and water running applications late in the season can be very effective at increasing grain protein. Although we shouldn't always just pay attention to only fertilizer application, irrigation efficiency and distribution uniformities can also be coupled with improvements in nitrogen use efficiency. And we can benefit greatly from having some quick in-season tests of soil, plant tissue, and even crop reflectance indexes to tell us what the crop nitrogen need is, not just what the plant status is. Do we have time for questions?
We have time for a question or two.
Yes.
I was wondering why there was such a large deviation when you're looking at the grain protein versus when you didn't add extra nitrogen in those different steps of the growing process. I noticed that it was a lot larger than the other ones. Is that just because of residual nitrogen, like you're saying, or is there another reason?
Are you referring to in between years?
Yeah, so like A over there.
Yeah, it can just be a statistical effect. The number of experimental units for R0 and controls tended to be a lot lower than the actual experimental treatments. Yes, sir.
Silage variety different from the grain varieties, or different varieties can be grown for silage or for grain?
A common long-standing recommendation for extension in our area to growers is to plant dual-purpose varieties. That's on growers' farms who grow, who usually have contracts with dairy operators. So if the grain price goes up, they can carry it out to grain yield. But we do have growers that are dedicated to grain production, and those will be different varieties. Yes, sir?
Do you know the well-established criteria for scouting to know whether they need to intervene before nitrogen?
Well established. We're working with Mark Lundy, one of the collaborators. Here's our cereal grains specialist. He's looking at some crop reflectance tools and correlating them with nitrogen soil quick tests and plant tissue sampling. We've known that there's great correlation from work all up and down the Western United States, but we're looking at also trying to correlate nitrogen response rates at different application timings and rates with those crop reflectance tools. So, and, you know, a handheld NDVI and then a proxy for the SPAD meter.
Okay, thank you very much.